Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where your money makes dollars and cents. Let's get talking. Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and you've heard me mention it plenty of times, but today we're doing a deep dive on written plans. Whether they are formal financial plans or an informal one that you create for yourself, where you just list out your goals and your ambitions with money, either way, they are going to provide you with a ton of value. Today's Money Buddy and I are diving into talking about written plans as well as a spending plan and how they can help you stay on track. Here are some of the side effects of written plans: increased happiness, reduced stress, financial confidence, and many, many more things. So make sure to take some notes and have a money talk about today's episode with a friend, or especially a spouse if you're married, because that's the best way to help the show grow and also to help you grow when it comes to learning about what we talk about on each episode. You get to learn twice when you teach it to other people. So let's get into today's conversation about written plans. But hold on, before we get into it today, remember the big news that I've been teasing out over the past few weeks? Well, next Thursday, May 1st, is when you're going to learn all about it. And I'm super excited for the changes coming to the show and much, much more. You won't want to miss it. So make sure you're subscribed and tell your fellow Money Buddies that the Money Talk podcast has some exciting news coming up. But let's get back to what you all came to hear about today. Today's Money Buddy is Danielle Reese. Danielle is a vibrant money coach and founder of the Better Budgeting Playbook. She's committed to helping women and couples break free from the paycheck to paycheck cycle. After overcoming $60,000 in personal debt, Danielle turned her experience into a passion for coaching, launching her program in 2020 to empower others with practical, sustainable budgeting strategies. She also hosts the Better Budgeting Podcast and founded the Financial Freedom Society, a community dedicated to promoting financial education and support. Danielle's mission is to simplify budgeting and guide her clients towards lasting financial independence. But let's get into that conversation right after the money talking points. The money talking points for this week are: how can you use a spending plan to reach your goals? 2, what are some ways you can write things down so that you don't forget them? And 3, how do you make sure automation actually helps your finances? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking and welcome Danielle to the show. Thank you for Danielle Reese for joining. We're here today to talk about written plans and budgeting and some fun topics that we both enjoy talking about. We're both coaches. We both have a podcast. So I'm excited for this conversation. Danielle, can you give just a brief introduction so people can get to know you?
Yeah, my name is Danielle Reese. I'm a money coach. I am the founder of the Better Budgeting Podcast, and my coaching program is called the Better Budgeting Playbook. I've been coaching for 5 years. I really started my journey from my own personal experiences with finances, which I think is how you started yours, right?
Yes. Mine came from my credit union background. Yes.
Awesome.
I'm excited to get into this conversation today. It's always fun to talk with someone really like you and I are in kind of the same area, finance, financial coach, money coach, and podcasting. So this will be a good conversation for everyone to listen to today. But let's kick it off by talking about written plans. These are something that I preach and preach on many episodes, but I've never done like a dive into them like we're about to do. So I'm excited for this, but do you have a written financial plan?
Oh, absolutely. And let's be clear on what I believe is a financial written plan. Mm-hmm. For me, I believe that's a spending plan. I call them spending plans. You might call them budgets. It's telling your money where to go. I think what we're going to talk about more today is about the budgeting of a written plan versus the long game of a written plan for finances, such as your life insurance and all that stuff that requires financial advisors, attorneys even. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the day-to-day of written plans, and that really comes down to budgeting.
Yeah, the stuff that most people are actually going to use. Like, yes, hopefully, listening to both of us, there's going to come a point where you need that estate plan document. You need that will and all those sort of things set up. I love that you're calling it a spending plan. We're going to get to restriction and stuff, kind of that thing that's thrown around at the B word when people are worried about budgeting.
Right.
What is the value that you find in having that written financial or spending plan?
Oh, there's so much. I think it comes down to freedom. That's really what people are wanting. They never come to me and they say, Danielle, I just want thousands of dollars in the bank and I want to be able to, you know, sit on this big, large lump of money. They don't say those things. They say, I want freedom. I want to stop my part-time job. I want to be able to pay for a car repair whenever I have it come up. So that is the value of the written plan because it leads to all of those things.
So many people, they know that feeling or that emotion. They want to connect with their money, but they don't know exactly what that looks like. A coach can help you say, okay, well, let's look at your expenses. You've never tracked them before, so let me show you how to track them. And then you can begin to build those actual numbers and the real framework behind it. All they know is the emotion of wanting to feel free.
Yeah.
So how does writing it down help people stay on track?
I think writing it down is going to be your roadmap for being able to create those goals. The roadmap, I think of it as like a mountain. When you look at it from the bottom, it's huge. And you just know you need to make steps. A spending plan is going to tell you exactly what those steps are. Whether they're 2 feet, they're 5 feet, they're only an inch this month, whatever it is. I find that that is going to be the most valuable information the month to month versus looking at everything from year to year, even quarter to quarter. What does it look like month to month? What are those small steps that you've made throughout the month to make progress, whether it's tracking or it's, I just want to be able to eat out less often. I want to put money in savings, whatever it is.
Yeah, I love that. Identifying those small, simple steps that people can make. I talked about that on a couple episodes ago where the guest on that episode and I talked about taking that next step in terms of retirement savings, because that is also another area that can feel very daunting, but so is just saving money generally. Maybe you're not saving for retirement right now, but you're saving for that car repair that you mentioned. That's one of those things that just blows up people's finances, is a flat tire, because to be honest, it's not that big of an expense if you're prepared for it. And it's the main example I use that emergency fund or any sort of savings can turn that sort of emergency into just a minor inconvenience on
yes.
your time.
Yeah,
I agree. That's the phrasing I love to use there.
Yeah, I love to use it too. And I'm not a huge Dave Ramsey fan. That's where I've heard it first, but it is so true. It's so true. I've been in situations and my clients have been in situations. I'm sure you've been in situations where...
With a flat tire, exactly. That's an exact one that's happened to us.
Yeah. A couple months ago, I would say about 6 or 7 months ago, we got a collection bill for $1,000. I was questioning, you know, where did this come from? It actually was a medical bill. I had no idea that for a certain operation, the physician and the actual facility are two different things and they send two different bills. I just figured I had paid it all and I did not. And I never got anything in the mail that I can recall. I got this $1,000 bill and instead of freaking out, worrying, stress, anxiety, how are we going to make it work? It's taken care of. It comes out of the emergency fund because we've planned for these type of events to happen throughout life.
Well, yeah, because you get to do this $1,000 expense coming up. So you take a couple budgets to save for it. But when you're like, I got to pay this right now, you use that emergency fund and then replenish that. And it's so much less stressful because you can't predict that expense coming in the future. Like if you could, you would have paid it already.
I agree.
So that's where that emergency comes into play.
Did you ever come into a situation like that where it's very unexpected?
Yeah, the flat tire is one. And then it ended up being, of course, it was an upsell to get the rest of the four tires replaced, but they needed it. Thankfully, we had both an emergency fund and a car repair fund. So we just tapped into both because we were like, sure, they're trying to sell us more tires. That's their job. They're going to try to get us to buy all four. But we knew we needed it. We knew it would have came due in a couple months because we're keeping track of things like that. We have a better cadence on it because we're like planning for things like that. So we're like, okay, let's bring that up a little bit sooner. We replenished it over time. We probably would have been close to starting to save for that anyways. Just having that little bit of buffer, this is something that I love to tell my wife. We can use the money in whatever way we want. If we want to put it here and fill it up later here or break it up however you want. And we're doing that right now. Once you get your plan in place, you can begin to have more fun with credit card rewards and things like that.
yeah.
We're trying to get a sign-up bonus, and I'm paying for some reservations that I probably wouldn't do for a couple more months, but I'm doing them all now because I know we have enough savings in the bank. We can replenish our savings instead of saving for those expenses. Writing these things down allows you to see the bigger picture of your money versus feeling so reactionary.
A sense of organization.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's just that sense of organization. But one of the things that you mentioned right out the gate is, do you need lawyers, estate planners, all sorts of different attorneys and stuff? Do you have to work with a professional for these written spending plans, or is this something that someone can listen to this episode and then create on their own?
I'm hoping you could listen to this episode and create on your own.
That's our goal.
That's our goal. Hopefully it's a clear message. No, you don't need anybody per se. I do think it's really important to immerse yourself in good education and not just TikTok shop, right? And finding the latest information from people that don't have any skin in the game. You and I have skin in the game. Mm-hmm. We've done the hard work, taught people mm-hmm. how to do it and invested in our education. That's the important part, is getting good information. Hopefully when you listen to this episode, we're going to give you enough for you to start, but you also have to follow through. I think that's the biggest part too, is mindset.
Yeah. And ask questions, because we're not going to be able to get everyone's specific circumstances into this one episode, but either of us would be happy to have you email us, reach out, ask questions, schedule like a free meeting with us. And let's talk about your specifics, because that's where it can begin to break down after you listen to all these podcasts and stuff. You say, okay, that was all great, but I actually have this specific situation that none of them talked about. So just ask somebody, and odds are that they either know someone who's dealt with that and can help you, or they know how to help you out with that. You don't have to go straight to a professional or have this big giant team of expensive $100 an hour people behind mm-hmm. you to just get this simple stuff going. But what are some key things that people are like, okay, I want to start this. I got my pen and paper. This episode's really going. This is great. What are some things that they can begin to include in this written plan?
Oh, well, income. Right? We've got to mm-hmm. have money. 100%. We have to have money. I actually start with my clients. We call it the bank statement exercise, mm-hmm. where we're reviewing last month's purchases to see how you're actually spending money. That's usually going to capture everything. It might not capture some of the cash spending, but if you are a chronic swiper, it's going to grab everything. Right? I have them do it for all their accounts. So if you're using credit cards and a bank card, all of it, we are jamming it into one spreadsheet, and we're going to categorize everything. Because you might say to me, hey, Danielle, I think I spend about $500 in groceries. And then you do this bank statement exercise and they say, oh my goodness, I had no idea I was spending so much, or that I'm going to the grocery store so often. Mm-hmm. So I think a really great step is to identify your spending first before even making a budget.
Well, yeah. And I love to tell people the exact same thing of just begin tracking your data before you try to budget. Because that's where the restriction comes in. When you're just like throwing random numbers at the wall, like let's spend $300 on groceries, but maybe it actually does cost $500 and you're giving yourself an unrealistic constraint. When you look at the data, you're going to naturally see where you can cut back. I've shared this story as well, but this happened to me in high school when I was starting to dive into this finance rabbit hole. I tracked my spending and then I told all my friends, hey, I'm spending this much eating out every month. You're probably spending similar since we're always hanging out. That's a ton of money that we're all spending eating out. Can we cut that back? And we were all able to naturally, which I also tell people this story as a way to say, you can get your friends on board. Like if you're worried about your friends and family like shunning you for not spending money, when you begin to tell them these things and say, I looked at my expenses over the last 90 days and I'm spending a ton in these areas, then you're naturally going to want to back off of that. So I love the idea of tracking your expenses and categorizing them first, but what can people do after that? So now they've begun to see where they're spending money. What happens next in that plan?
You're tracking and understanding where all your money is going. Now we've got income and we need to create the actual budget. I don't care if you're doing it on pen and paper, on a rock with a twig. It doesn't matter to me.
Hieroglyphs,
A Excel spreadsheet, whatever is going to be easiest for you to maintain. There is some need for discipline where the numbers mm-hmm. need to match up and everything needs to work out. I personally like a zero-based budget. That's all income minus all expenses is taken care of. Every mm-hmm. single dollar has a place to go. I use this analogy with my clients when they come to me and they have a lot of bank accounts, because I'm sure maybe some of your listeners have bank accounts everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we really only need three. We need a bill account, a spend account, and a savings account. At least my method, right? For my method, we're keeping it simple. I like to start with tracking everything, getting your bank accounts actually set up. You got your income and your expenses. it's a kitchen table, right? We're going to throw all of our money on the kitchen table. It doesn't matter if it's coming from child support, alimony, a paycheck, random stuff that I've sold on eBay. It doesn't matter. All of that just goes in one place. Because I'll find that sometimes people say that, oh, well, that pays for this thing specifically. And that check pays for that specifically. That kind of adds to the confusion.
So exactly.
Everything goes to the kitchen table. If we're visualizing, right, all of these dollars. Everything
if you still use cash, you're piling it up on the table.
Yes, yeah. Use that visual. And now we're going to just start sectioning it off. This is what you're doing on your spreadsheet, on your phone. You're sectioning off piles of money to where you want it to go. The next step is identifying what is getting paid. I like sleeping with a roof over my head, so I make sure my mortgage is taken care of first. Probably for you too, whether it's rent or mortgage. After that, I like to make sure that I have running water, electricity, food in the fridge, you know, the basic stuff. And I'm making light of this because that's my personality. But also, it needs to be said because sometimes people don't know where to start. So start with the basics.
Yeah. And on our spreadsheet, I put the categories in order where it begins with the things that have to get taken care of so that by the time we get to the end, say we had a month where it was a little bit lower than we expected, we get to the end, those are just zeros. We don't need to spend money in those areas because they're the tail end of our needs. But those first ones, we have specific amounts for. You know what your mortgage is, your rent, your utility bills are before the month. You just plug in those numbers and then keep moving down the line. But being in that sort of a place where you have all your money and then you get to distribute it is like that freedom point you were talking about earlier, because then you get to the point where you're like, wow, I have this much left and I can just spend it. Like all my other goals are hit. How does beginning to outline your spending help you feel more free when it comes to spending?
Yeah, so it's interesting because people look at budgeting as very restrictive. And the way that I frame it in my marketing, on social media, all of my podcasts is it is not actually restricting. You have every single choice. If you want to put money towards a mortgage, you go ahead. If you don't want to, it's probably not the smartest idea, but you have that choice. I think people get caught up in that it's restrictive, but really it's just a list of choices that you get to make every month.
Yeah, that's a fantastic way to put it. Is you're either choosing to put it towards a certain area or you're choosing to not worry about it. And then when you feel stressed, like that's the consequence of the choice. It is more freeing when you make these choices. Like my wife and I, we spend maybe an hour and a half a month thinking about our money, sitting down and talking about it. Versus if you don't have some sort of budget or spending plan, you're probably spending several hours a week thinking about it, stressing about it, not being able to sleep. So that's one of the juxtapositions I've been pointing people towards is would you rather spend a specific amount of time worrying about it and thinking about it, or spend a lot more time just abstractly worrying about it or not being able to sleep? Because that's the trade-off.
I'll never forget meeting with a client and she said, Danielle, I physically get sick when we talk about finances, because my anxiety is just so high about it. We're robbing Peter to pay Paul all the time. I sometimes let the bills pile up on the counter in the mail and don't even touch it because it's just, it's too much. And we're not built to live life that way at all. Use a spreadsheet, your phone app, piece of pen and paper, and go ahead and make a plan for the money on how you want to spend it. That's where we came up with spending plan. Make a plan for how you want to spend your money. That kind of dissolves over time as you make progress.
Yeah, because then you begin to build a system around it. So they're taking that stack of bills that's on their countertop and you get it, you open it up, you write down the date it's being paid, you write down the amount, and you throw the rest of it away.
And you move on.
Yeah. So then when you get to your next spending plan, you know, okay, this one's coming up. Let me make sure the money's there for it. It's way easier. That's how you get that stress out of you by putting it somewhere else in a system that you can trust. Because if you're just writing it down somewhere and it's going into the black hole, then what's the difference?
Or not even writing it down and just remembering like, oh yeah, this is due then. And then all of a sudden, oops, I did not pay that. One thing you mentioned was about automation. And I think we could talk about this a little bit is, you know, I love automation once everything works. If it doesn't work, automation can sometimes
it's
be
stressful
a real,
the first time.
It could be a real killer, right? I've talked to clients before, everything's on automation and they have no system in place. So I actually started with my clients as a payday routine. You got your spending plan. It should take you no more than 5 minutes to pay all of your bills for your pay cycle. That's how we've set it up. It should be so easy, so freeing, so mindless to just go through the system, pay everything that needs to be paid, be done. And then the money that's actually left in that spend account is what you get to spend guilt-free.
Yeah. Use it however you want. That's fantastic. And you can get to a point where you're doing that monthly. Like for me, I have our spreadsheet set up in a way where there is one number, literally one number that I check to make sure there's enough cash in that account to cover the automatic credit card payments that are paying the statement balance. I look at that number, and at the beginning of the month, I transfer that amount from our savings to our checking account, and I'm done. Yeah. I don't worry about that account going negative. I usually give it about a $200, $300 buffer in case something happens. It's so much easier, and I just recently switched to autopay on my credit cards. For some weird reason, this was the one piece I wasn't willing to give up. I would continually make bill payments on the first of the month. It was just how I did it. So that first time they went through the statement cycle on autopay was super stressful. But now I know the system works. I know it's going to be okay going forward, and it's a whole lot easier on me mentally. Yeah. You mentioned trying to remember things and not write them down, which was a perfect transition to a question I want to ask you is, what's the downside of not writing them down? Like, what if you are just trying to remember your entire financial situation?
Absolute chaos.
It's worse than that physical stack of just leaving everything.
Yeah. So I'm a wife. I am a mother of two kids. They're 8 and 7. We do baseball. We do swimming. I have my own business. My husband works full time. I do not have any more capacity to hold anything, you know? And as many of your listeners and my listeners and people who follow me, you are probably in that same part of life where it's just chaos all the time. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to figure out how to navigate and get people where they need to go. When you don't have a plan for your money, it just adds to that chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're not in a place where your life's too chaotic to remember your entire financial situation, one, please share your secrets, but you will be at some point. Maybe you're 16 or 17 listening to this and you're like, my life's easy. I just go to high school football, sports, and things like that. But there's going to come a point where it's too busy to bother and you're going to need some sort of a system to write it down or else you will forget. If you're trying to remember that you need to pay your credit card payment, remember the specific statement balance, and remember the due date, just in your mind, there's no shot. Like you have no chance at remembering that. It will not get paid. That's the biggest downside of not writing things down is you will forget them. So don't even try. I love to joke with my friends saying, I don't forget anything because I don't try to remember anything. Like I just put it in a reminder, put it in a system. And then I don't worry about it.
Interestingly, a little off topic here. I was reading an article about how people, their memory isn't as great as maybe 20 decades ago when we didn't have cell phones. Because you had to remember things. Mm-hmm. We're just in a different world now. Write things down. Get set up with a system. Make your life so easy. That's the way God created us to be, is just make life easy.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And yes, it is true to the point that our memories probably suck more now than they did previously. But I also like to think that there's more going on in the world and in our lives now than there used to be. Like things are just more complex. There's more things that we have to manage. So don't feel bad if you can't remember things. It's okay.
Yeah, great point. Great point.
Okay, let's talk more about a spending plan. Let's talk about how it can help us in a longer term approach. How does this sort of budget or spending plan help when it comes to hitting goals?
Yeah. I think back to a client of mine and I'm looking over her numbers and I said, did you pay off this car and not tell me? And she's like, yeah, we paid off this car. And I said, are you debt free minus your student loan? And she said, I guess I am. Why aren't we popping champagne right now? For her, this specific client, that spending plan was just the mile marker. For each extra payment going towards the car, now it's going to go to the student loan. And I think that you have to have something like that to measure how to get to these goals. And there's other things to add into it, right? You want to have a $500 purchase and it's going to take 5 months to save it up. Well, 500 divided by 5 months is $100. So a spending plan allows you to take little baby steps towards those goals. Mm. The discipline to follow through is going to be really, really important too.
Mm-hmm. There is an element of sacrifice and discipline that'll be required. It's not all just write it down and your finances are going to work perfectly. There could be a shortfall in your income that you need to go make more, or you may have to cut back more in your spending than you realize. It can feel tricky and hard, but that's okay. How do you use a spending plan? How do you use it to help hit your goals?
I have to walk the talk, right? Is that the saying?
Walk anyway. The walk, talk the talk? I don't know.
Talk the talk, walk the walk. That's right. There you go. I have to do that too. So I do my weekly spending plan. It takes 5 minutes. I do my monthly planning. I meet with my husband. We talk about our goals. We talk about our priorities. These are all things that you should be doing too to stay ahead of the game. If a goal pops up, it's not like, hey, Danielle, I'm going to go spend XYZ. It's, oh, let's bring this to our kind of like a money meeting, essentially. And it's that sounds so formal, but it's very unofficial. I use it as something that it's kind of just part of our lives now. Because it brings so much peace to our lives. So it has to be part of our daily lives.
Yeah, my wife and I formalize that meeting a little bit more than it sounds like you do. And that's the great part is you can keep this as personal and unique to your situation as you want. My wife and I have an agenda, which I know sounds businessy for people to hear, but we only talk about money once a month. So something comes up that we want to save for and we both know, just put it on that agenda and then we don't worry about it until then. And we will make sure to dedicate time to talk about it. It's a similar vein to you as you talk about it weekly. You have this checklist of things where you can just store those ideas that you know you're going to talk about. How does that meeting or just regularly talking about money help when it comes to emergency situations coming up?
Yeah. So my husband's a little bit more hands-off with the finances. And I'm going to be real raw and honest about it because sometimes people think because we're money coaches that, oh, like your spouse is in on it and it's great. Yeah. My husband was not part of our journey for the first 2.5 years. And he still is a little just like, eh, I don't really want to do the numbers. I don't really want to decide on what things are going on. So for me, when emergencies pop up, it's a quick text like, hey, this kind of really needs to be taken care of immediately. Or when he comes home, hey, this needs to be taken care of immediately. It might not be able to wait until a week later. But the point is that we have prepared ourselves enough that when those things pop up, it's just like, by the way, got to take this money out of the savings account because this thing happened.
Yeah. And then that next week's meeting comes up and you have the conversation about replenishing it.
Yep.
Versus having the sort of stress of, well, shoot, now I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage with my next paycheck because I'm negative. And then there's the overdraft fee. So it actually took essentially like a whole bunch of extra money out of my account. So you have that buffer built in. That buffer, I think, is the most valuable thing for people to have in their financial situation. It is literally just one paycheck in your savings feels so nice for people. Yeah. It helps out whether you're writing things down or not. Yeah. Just getting to that point. Let's talk a moment about how that buffer helps. I feel like we should talk about that in more detail to encourage people towards saving some money. I like to tell people to save up 1 month's income so that you can budget on last month's income. That way the money coming in this current month, you're not even worrying about it. Mm-hmm. How does your spending plan allow you to get ahead of yourself a little bit so you're not paycheck to paycheck?
Yeah, so that's going to be really dependent on what your goals are, right? Mm-hmm. For me, I love that on April 1st, I'm paying May 1st mortgage. Some clients love using the grace period. It depends on who you are. As a starting point, I always say, if you've got nothing in the bank account, let's get $10 in there and keep it there. And then let's bump that up to 50. Let's go to 100. Let's go to, you know, whatever number it is that it needs to be. It's dependent on their income and their expenses. A single man, no kids, doesn't need to have $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in the bank. So it's really just dependent on who you are, what you do for a living, and what your family looks like too. Where do I start? I start wherever you are. If we've got nothing, we're starting with $10. If we've got something, let's say you have $1,000 in savings, your income is $2,000 biweekly. I'm like, all right, our next goal might be 2,000. Let's break that into chunks. I'll never forget, I had a client at one point, her paycheck would come in at different times of the day. It would always be there on Fridays, but it never at the same exact time. She woke up in the middle of the night. It was about 4 a.m. and her paycheck hadn't hit. And it always hit before then. She was a night owl. So by midnight, it was there. And she texted me, 4 a.m., Danielle, you are not going to believe this. For her, that was the moment she was like, I have to have at least 1 month's paycheck in my checking account at all time in my savings account for these kind of things that are out of your control.
Yeah, that is a point of stress I hope to never have to deal with in life. Because if you're watching your paycheck, like, I know it comes in at 4 p.m. and then I can spend all my bills and things like that. That is so stressful. Just getting to the point where you have one paycheck living in the background is like absolute freedom. That might feel better than financial independence, because there's a different level of stress versus living paycheck to paycheck versus being comfortable but having to work. So like getting over that initial hump and getting out of that paycheck to paycheck cycle is a massive deal. And that can honestly be one of those spending categories that you're putting all your cash towards, is you're going like mortgage, food, bills, savings. Like that's a savings goal that you just write in there on one of the columns. And then everything else comes after that. Because once you can get to that point, that's where the freedom comes into play. I assume you're not living paycheck to paycheck, being that you're a money coach. How does it feel to actually be out of that point or past it?
I haven't been living paycheck to paycheck in approximately 7 years. It's far enough away that it's kind of like a distant memory, but I remember the feelings I had when I was paycheck to paycheck. Stress, worry, anxiety. I was on a base salary plus commission paycheck. My husband was on just commission. And when he didn't get a paycheck, whoo, it's a bad day in the Reese household. And so now it's totally different. It's just a different dynamic. Conversations between my husband and I, very different. There's a lot less stress around those conversations, a lot less arguments as well. Now it's just a little part of my day anymore versus before it consumed my entire life. Every day, every hour, every second.
We'll leave it right there on that hopeful note. I got two final questions to ask you. For everyone listening, you can either spend a little bit of time worrying about it or a lot of time just stressing about it all over. So Danielle, thanks for this whole conversation. This has been fantastic. But two final questions to wrap us up here. First will be, how can people connect with you? And then the second one after that will be, what's one thing you wish you had known sooner about these written spending plans? But how can people find you?
You can find me on my website, DanielleReeseCoaching.com. You can access everything from there, Facebook, Instagram. I'm more of a Facebook person. Send me a message. I'm happy to connect with all kinds of people. I have a Facebook community called the Financial Freedom Society. I post all kinds of tips and financial mindset stuff there, and it's a lot of fun. Your question about one thing I would have wished from the very beginning, I wish people would have taught me about it. I want that to be an inspiration for your listeners, for them to go out and learn it so that they can go tell all their friends, to tell their family, raise their children in a household where the finances are not a stress point. I think that is something that I wish I would have known earlier, is how to get into that cycle and learn about my finances so that I didn't have to go through all the stress, but then I could have taught other people a lot sooner. And then also, we've talked a lot about it. It's just how freeing it can be.
Yeah. Freedom is kind of the overarching theme of this episode. But also, I love that, to inspire everyone to say, go out and teach it sooner so that you can help bring someone on the journey. Maybe they're not going to be completely into money like you are if you're listening to all these sort of podcasts, but just bringing them on a little bit to get them thinking differently is going to be super helpful for them long term. But Danielle, thank you so much for coming on. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle, for coming on the podcast. Wasn't that a fantastic interview? And I really appreciate her coming on. I found her podcast on Spotify and reached out to see if she wanted to talk about money. And here we are. So make sure you check out her podcast. Of course, links are in the show notes. But let's talk about the money talking points today. The first one is, how can you use a spending plan to reach your goals? Well, weekly check-ins and monthly money meetings are a big deal. Danielle, with her husband, has a weekly check-in. Me and my wife, we have a set agenda with specific monthly money talks. These are a huge deal, but my wife and I do check in with our money weekly in a much smaller way. One of our main spreadsheets has what I call our monthly tracker, and it's built into our budgeting spreadsheet, and it shows us which budgets have overspent, how our sinking funds are doing, and it helps us stay on track and keep our spending in line with the plan that we set in place so that we can achieve our goals. We do that weekly so that we can say, hey, our grocery budget only has $10 left, so we probably shouldn't buy more soda, or our food budget only has 20 bucks left, so we could get ice cream one more time, but let's make sure we really want it and really want to spend the money instead of blowing through it and then we don't have it when we do want it. So That spending plan combined with weekly check-ins is a big deal. It really helps you stay on track. Another thing you can do to help your spending plan reach your goals is to prioritize essentials first and then allocate what's left to savings and fun. Because making sure there's a roof over your head and food in your belly is a great place to start. Then you can begin to use the spending plan for fun, like ice cream, like I was mentioning, soda, drinks, whatever you want. You can use it for fun events and things like that. I like the idea of calling this a spending plan because you are planning to spend, which is okay. It is completely fine if you are planning to spend your money. The key there is to just have a plan. Also, make sure in this plan that you're building, you are including savings as a category in your plan so that you can build that buffer and emergency fund and investing over time. My wife and I have our IRAs and investing accounts as a specific category in our budget or spending plan, whatever you would like to call it. This really helps my wife and I make sure that our money is going to our investing or our specific savings categories before we put it in other superfluous expense categories and those big fun things, because we have a specific plan in place where we want to put a certain amount into these categories. So having it as an actual item in our budget is super helpful when it comes to making sure we actually prioritize and do the savings that we want to do. We make absolute sure that the money is going to the place that's going to be best for our goals first by using our categories, and we make sure to use it together. We have categories outlined that are super helpful for setting up the foundation. We have things like rent, groceries, food, gas, transportation, investing, IRAs, things like that that we know are going to make sure we have roofs over our head, but also make sure we're hitting the specific goals that we have. Making sure we're using categories is super helpful when it comes to making sure we're hitting our goals, but also outside of savings, a spending plan can bring a massive amount of peace and reduce stress, especially when there's a chaotic lifestyle of living paycheck to paycheck going on. And peace and freedom, when it comes to spending, is not what most Americans feel. So here's your chance to be different. Here's your chance to change how you do it, because most Americans don't do it this way. So work hard to get to a place where you can feel freedom and peace with spending, because that is such an awesome feeling to say, yeah, we can afford this. Let's spend some money on something we want. Work hard to get out of that paycheck to paycheck cycle and give yourself the freedom to be able to enjoy not having to worry about every single paycheck. Danielle and I talked about paycheck to paycheck and getting beyond that and how liberating that can feel. But also, if you're wondering how you can get started with these written plans or a budget meeting of some sort, head over to my website and go to the resources button at the top and check out the budget meeting guide. This is going to be super helpful whether you're married or not, towards setting a regular cadence to check in with your money. So go check that out. But that does it for the first money talking point, which was how can you use a spending plan to reach your goals. Next, I want to talk about what are some ways you can write things down so that you don't forget them. Real quick off the bat here, I want to just give you some instant to-dos where you can figure out, okay, I need to write things down so I don't remember them. What are some of the apps you can use? Well, there's Apple Notes, Google Keep. There's a million notes apps. I would recommend starting with one that's free, so you don't get lumped into some sort of subscription for something you may not use long-term, but there's also Apple Reminders, Todoist, Google Tasks. There's a lot of reminder apps that you can jot down to-do lists. There's calendars, there's whiteboards, there's sticky notes, there's emails. You could schedule yourself emails for reminders. Now, that's not a great tip because our emails have become so flooded with spam and garbage that nobody reads, even though, pro tip, click unsubscribe. Apple Mail and Gmail have made it easier than ever at the top to just click unsubscribe from emails you don't want. And let me tell you, dedicating a week or whatever to reading and checking if you want the email and then unsubscribing from it can be huge, because then your email feels like it's free. Your email feels like it's actually useful. And then you can use things like scheduling emails, or you can email people instead of feeling like you have to text them because you're never going to see the email. So take some time and check on your email inbox. I'd recommend doing that because that can also be a way to write things down. Or if you keep it well organized, it can be a good way to look back and find old information. But enough about emails. I could talk about email forever, but this is so powerful, and writing things down is so powerful because it gets them out of your mind and you are not forgetful. Because guess what? We all have a busy and forgetful mind. And I made the comment in the episode that I do not forget things because I don't try to remember them. And honestly, it's very true. Don't bother your mind with trying to remember every little detail. You have far too much going on in your life to worry about your finances. You heard that right. You just heard the financial guy on a podcast say you worry too much about finances and that you're too busy to worry about it. What does that mean? It means write things down. Stop worrying so much about it. Put it in some sort of note-taking system or a piece of paper that you're going to not lose, and stop worrying about it so much. Write down your plan, write down your spending plan, and then let that remember what you're supposed to be doing. You have far too much going on to worry about your finances. You heard that correctly. So Let's also talk about how a Reminders or Notes app can help you, because it's a simple way to get things out of your mind. You write it down in the Reminders app, you give it a date, or you don't even have to give it a date. You can just create a list called financial to-dos, and then you just write things down in there, and then you don't have to remember them. You can come back to that list and just remember that list is where you need to look instead of every single thing in the list. You have to make sure you have a cadence for actually coming back to them, or else what good is writing them down? But make sure you have a very basic, simple system set up so that you can remember to check that ideas list later. But I said you don't have to worry about your finances when you start using writing things down and note apps and to-do apps and things like that. Combined with automation, which we're going to talk about in the next money talking point, you really don't have to worry a whole lot about your finances. I do not spend a ton of time truly worried about my finances. Sure, I'm a financial person and a spreadsheet nerd, so I like to optimize things and make things more efficient and whatever, but I don't worry about it. So let's talk about the next money talking point, which is how do you make sure automation actually helps your finances? This is a huge one. You hear everyone preaching automation, but what does that actually mean? Well, you need to make sure you do it yourself at least once, but honestly, you should do it a few times and then automate it. Don't go into managing your money thinking you're just going to automate the whole thing instantly, or that you're just going to type something in somewhere and say automation, and it's like a spell or something that you cast over your finances. It won't work well if you don't give it a shot and know how it actually works. If you try to automate something right away, you are going to miss something, and that's going to screw something up big time, especially when it comes to paying bills or paying off credit card stuff. If you don't know how it's done at all, or the timing of it, or you don't at least pay attention to it the first time it goes through automatically, there can be real headaches if something messes up. But the number one thing to automate is paying our bills. I finally overcame this with our credit card statement balances. I was so hung up on paying them on the first of the month, paying the whole balance and whatnot, and I finally gave in a little bit and let one of the cards we're using do auto pay once, which goes to my point of try it out first, just to see how it worked, because I'd never done auto pay. I'd always done bill pay from our bank account, and that was how I did it. But I finally let an auto pay go through to see how it actually worked, which seems so silly because I'm here talking about money and trying to optimize everything, but I wouldn't let auto pay work. So I finally did it, and then I was able to turn it on for all the rest of them. And now I never use bill pay because I know it's going to work. And like I was telling Danielle, there's one number in our cash flow spreadsheet where I can see the total amount of money coming out of our checking account for the month. And all I have to do is make sure there is enough money for that number in the account at the beginning of the month. And it is so much easier. So make sure there's enough money in the account, of course. This can be done with direct deposit from your job. It can be done with a very simple system to review your upcoming bills for the month. Maybe you now have your newly organized email or your reminders list where you write down the bill amounts as soon as they come in. And then on the first of the month, you go check that list. Then begin to work and set up your system. And as you get more comfortable, you're going to find more and more steps to automate. Like maybe you remove the list altogether and you store them in your email. Or you snooze them all for the first day of the month. And then you just go into your email. They're all snoozed right there at the top. There's a lot of great ways you can automate things, but take it one step at a time. Don't think you're going to get this automated, blissful life just right away by saying automation and pointing a wand at your finances. So take it step by step. But that does it for this episode. Let's wrap it all up. And I want to talk a little bit about the big announcement coming and a summary of what Danielle and I talked about today. But thank you to Danielle for coming on this episode. What a phenomenal conversation. This was a fun one. We really spanned the gamut today about all things money. And like me, Danielle's a podcast host and a money coach, so she brings a lot of great insights from her work to all of us here. Be sure to check out her information in the show notes. We talked about spending plans all the way from writing them down and how that's helped both of us to regular money talks, how not writing things down can be so dangerous, and how getting out of the paycheck to paycheck cycle can be a bigger deal than financial independence. We learned a lot, and I hope you're able to take some of what we taught today and go and have a money talk with a money buddy. But now for the big reveal. Next week, stay tuned, just one more week, because episode 177 is going to be a big one. Make sure to tell your family, friends, coworkers, everybody you know. Tell them that your favorite podcast, Money Talk, has some big news coming. And be sure that you're subscribed so you don't miss any of it. And if you've been paying attention over the last few months, you likely know what is coming. But it's close, and I'm so excited. So be sure to stay tuned for next week's gigantic announcement episode. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected with all things Money Talk is to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for my email list. Head over to moneytalkwithskylarfleming.com and submit your name and email right there on the homepage. You can also use the contact page on my website to send me any questions. If you're looking to get started with budgeting, I've partnered with My Budget Coach, a platform that connects your budget directly to your financial coach, and I'd love to work with you over there and help you with your budgeting. The link is in the show notes. Remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about it with a fellow money buddy. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.